Hola.
Hola.
Bienvenidos a Gafford Gold Rush. My name is Afia.
My name is Sharita. Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back to Gafford Gold Rush. Bienvenidos. We always make sure that we have a vibe going before we start an episode. And typically, we listen to songs that have like a topic related to what we're going to talk about. And based on today's topic, the song that we chose is actually by Irfan Alves, called No Habla. Bienvenida, Trinidad y Tobago. Unfortunately, that's all the Spanish that I know. Look it up. It's a good vibe.
Yeah, it is a good vibe, especially considering what the topic of this episode is about. Mm-hmm. You'll see the relation.
Yeah, so today we'll be talking about some news that broke in Guyana this week. And we mentioned a few episodes ago that sometimes we'll pop in with episodes that are related to news and other times things that are just happening. And so this is one of those episodes where we'll be discussing, you know, something that recently happened in the news and is trending. So before we get into that, I do want to recap the last episode where we talked about Guyanese wedding traditions. And I thought it was really coincidental that some of the topics that we discussed in that last episode also found their way into this one. So in the last episode, if you listened, we talked about globalization and the fact that Guyana is experiencing an influx of immigration and different foreign nationals who are moving to Guyana because it's a developing country and there's so much interest from outsiders. So we're beginning to see the changes in the society and socially as a result of the immigration of different peoples. So as you guys know, Guyana is surrounded by three different countries: Venezuela to the west, Brazil to the south, and Suriname to the east. And for years, Guyana still was able to stand out and maintain a unique culture, a very Caribbean culture, despite a Dutch-speaking country to the east, a Portuguese-speaking country to the south, and a Spanish-speaking country to the west. And despite that, we've still maintained our status as the only English-speaking country in South America. But we've had a long history with Venezuela, as we'll get into in different episodes in the future, that has caused a little bit of friction between the two countries. But to summarize, there's been an ongoing boundary dispute where Venezuela believes that the entire Essequibo region belongs to them. And at this point in time, with just so many challenges going on all over the world, we are now seeing an influx of Venezuelan nationals coming into the country and migrating to Guyana. So I'm going to give it to Afia to discuss some of the news that has come out recently.
Just before we play the news video, what's happening is that the Guyanese police force, the GPF, they're trying to have more of a connection with the Venezuelan immigrants by placing a different name on the police cars. So yeah. Let's listen to the video here.
Guyana Police Force vehicles are now carrying markings that read Policia, the Spanish translation for police in English. In response, members of the public have raised concerns, with many questioning why English is not used since Guyana is an English-speaking country and the only English-speaking country in South America. Minister of Home Affairs Robson Ben explained on Tuesday that this is to cater for the significant number of people in the country who speak Spanish. A statement released by the force detailed, in an effort to provide a more broad-based and efficient professional police service to all Guyanese, including the influx of foreign nationals, especially those speaking Spanish, the Guyana Police Force has decided to include Policia on all police vehicles. The force vehicles will have police in English along with the GPF logo. Policia, Spanish for police, will be placed at the bottom of the English writing. The statement further noted that this is also in keeping with the Guyana Police Force's comprehensive and forward-thinking strategic plan 2022 to 2026. President Dr. Irfan Ali previously indicated that the country is moving to have Spanish as its second language. Already, measures are being implemented to make Spanish a compulsory aspect of learning. For the newsroom, I am Shania Ali. Thank you for listening.
All right, so you heard the news video there. And just like we heard, the Guyanese police force, they put Policia on the cars as a initial step into integrating Venezuelans and the immigrants who are coming from a predominantly Spanish-speaking country to Guyana, which is primarily an English-speaking country. So what they believe that they're doing is it's all a part of their strategic plan to have more of a connection with the Spanish-speaking community who are now more so coming over into Guyana to live.
Yeah. What I want to start off by saying first is that Gold Rush stands for Guyana's overseas and local descendants leveraging resources and unity for a successful homeland. And I think that by just being descendants or just having a connection to a country that already is so diverse in terms of ethnic backgrounds, you guys know that Guyana is known as the land of six peoples. We already have a history of cohabitating with people of different ethnic backgrounds. But aside from that, I also want to point out that because Afia and myself are Guyanese and we are connecting with other people who have a connection with Guyana, that a lot of the opinions that we have are Guyana-centered. So this podcast is always going to be about being pro-Guyana and pro-Guyanese people. So we'll never be anti any other group of people. We'll always accept differing opinions that people in our community have about other countries and communities. But at the end of the day, the goal of this podcast is to be pro-Guyana improvement and development and pro the development of our own people first. So I did want to highlight that. This has caused a lot of controversy, as Afia has said, because, you know, I touched on it a bit earlier that Guyana has had a troubled relationship with Venezuela. And as Afia said, Venezuelans are not the only Spanish speakers who are moving into the country. There are Cubans, there are so many other people because Guyana is just a beautiful country and there are so many opportunities there. So who wouldn't want to come and, you know, build a life there? But this has caused a lot of strife between the two countries and the two communities because it's a territorial dispute that has not yet been resolved. And it's been in court, in the International Court of Justice for decades and decades. And this has caused a lot of concern with people living in Guyana and people living abroad. And I think that that's natural for people to feel concerned that what they believe belongs to them will be taken away or has been taken away in the case of the Venezuelans. And so I wanted to add that background for anyone who's listening and isn't aware of the relationship that Guyana has to Venezuela. So we all know that Guyana is the only English-speaking country in South America. Spanish is not our national language due to the fact that we were colonized last by Great Britain. I also want to mention that many schools in Guyana actually do teach Spanish. And while it hasn't been to the level of maybe even Belize, where many of the citizens of Belize are bilingual, many Guyanese people have been exposed to Spanish at one time or another. But with the changing demographics, the government has recognized that there is value in Guyanese people learning Spanish to a level of fluency. So, Fia, in what ways do you think this move will impact diplomatic relations and diplomatic tensions?
So personally, I feel that considering the many opinions regarding the transition of having Venezuelans migrate into Guyana, you know, as refugees and due to their issues in their country, the idea that the Guyana police force has with putting on policia onto their cars as part of their strategic plan to incorporate Venezuelans into Guyanese society, I feel that this might be kind of pandering in a way to Venezuelans, because we know that when it comes to the Spanish language, it's not rooted in Guyanese history at all. So in a way, is it really necessary to have a different language on these cars when most of the police force probably doesn't speak Spanish themselves? So like, mm-hmm. what is really the point, you know? Because we don't want to make these tensions worse by completely shutting out the Venezuelans, but there needs to be a better plan in place. We're not completely sure about Guyana's complete plans to incorporate Venezuelans into Guyanese society, but what we do know is that you have to listen to the Guyanese people first.
Yeah. There is a risk that when you are looking to integrate new people into a society, especially in our situation where it's Venezuelans who are kind of like sworn enemies to some Guyanese people, it can be viewed as Guyana taking sides. And that doesn't necessarily feel good, you know?
And, you know, it's not as common for other countries to really put other languages just in the forefront. Countries like Haiti, like Belize, that are Caribbean countries, while they're surrounded by countries that are significantly different from theirs, they're not really accommodating for those countries in areas like their police force or fire department, you know, healthcare like that. They're not accommodating in that way.
Yeah. And so for anybody who's kind of bad at geography, Belize is a CARICOM country, as is Guyana. CARICOM stands for Caribbean Community. And it's kind of like what you would think of the EU as, so the European Union. It's not exactly the same, but I find that to be like the best comparison that I can make to people who don't understand what CARICOM means. But very similar culture to Guyana in the sense that it's a Caribbean country. The accent is Caribbean. All the neighboring countries are Spanish-speaking countries. So Belize shares a border with both Mexico and Guatemala and is very close to Honduras. So if you go to Belize, you'll experience a Caribbean culture and you'll see police cars that are in plain English that say police. And similarly with Haiti, that is another CARICOM country. All the neighboring countries are Spanish-speaking countries.
So there are efforts now that President Irfan Ali has been placing in order for Spanish to be more compulsory in schools. And while they're still trying to, you know, slowly incorporate Spanish into the school curriculum, there still is pretty much a shortage, unfortunately, of Spanish teachers. So that is, you know, one of the downsides, but there's still efforts to promote Spanish speaking in Guyana, considering the influx of more Spanish speaking migrants.
Mm-hmm. I think that something else interesting to note is that some of the people who are moving to Guyana and speaking Spanish are not even native to those Spanish speaking countries. There was a time that when I was in Guyana in 2019, I had to go to the hospital for something. And I remember I heard someone speaking Spanish and I was kind of confused because I'm looking around and I was like, I don't really see anyone in here that distinctly looked like they weren't one of the six races that we predominantly see in Guyana. And as I was looking around, I noticed it was a woman who to me looked Indo-Guyanese. And it turns out that she grew up in Venezuela and she moved back to Guyana. So her first language was actually Spanish. And so I think that Guyana also has to account for the fact that there are Guyanese people living all over the world whose first language is no longer going to be English or isn't English because they weren't educated in an English-speaking country. And so there are different types of people that the country has to cater to now that so many people are either returning home or trying to settle in Guyana as home.
Yeah, and with that, you know, we have to understand that in 2023, globalization is inevitable.
Mm-hmm. When things like that happen and when there are so many moving pieces, I think that that's where the conversation of like diversity and inclusion comes into play. And I think that we've already had a number of discussions as a country about diversity. Again, we're the land of six peoples. But I think with this breaking news of the police cars now having the word policia on them, it's worthwhile to talk about what inclusion looks like in other countries. And I think it would be of value to Guyana to consider the models that other countries are using to integrate and include the different races and ethnicities of people that are choosing to migrate there.
Right. So as we do have the influx of Venezuelans coming into the country, many of their children are, you know, being enrolled in schools. And like how they have in America, there is ESL or English second language classes or programs that the children will be able to be in order to learn the English language. And I'm not completely sure if Guyana has something like that set up, but it would be beneficial for the Spanish speaking as well as other language speaking migrants to Guyana to be put into these classes so that it will be easier for them to integrate into Guyanese society. So in my personal experience, I went to a high school that had a pretty large Spanish speaking population, and what was included with, you know, these students being here was English second language classes. And you can see how over time it benefited them because they were able to make their way through these general classes as well as taking the English classes. And I feel that if Guyana had these programs in place, both for the children in school as well as their parents who migrated over, it would be of benefit. Because as Guyana is trying to push for the Spanish language to be more widely spoken in the country, it's important for Guyanese natives at home to be comfortable, you know? But it would be very important for the migrants to be comfortable with speaking English and being more into Guyanese culture, and that they're able to properly transition into the country. We still want to make sure that those who are coming into the country to live and to work and stay, that they're all able to speak the language and understand what's going on. So
yeah, I feel like you nailed that, Afia. And also would like to point out the fact that, like, you know, a lot of the world and business just operates on English. You know, there are over a billion Chinese or Mandarin speakers. That is true. But when they're doing business in other countries or with other countries and other companies, the language of business is typically in English. And I'm saying that from my experience in working in corporate America. It's easier to find someone who speaks English versus your own language. So because of that, I think that's just another reason why it's valuable for Spanish speakers coming to an English-speaking country to learn English, because it won't just benefit them for the society that they're trying to integrate into, but if they decide to go on to other countries like the US, Canada, the UK, all these countries speak English. So it makes more sense to assist them with the transition into an English-speaking country versus change the communication style of the country they're moving into to fit them. As someone who speaks Spanish myself, I'm fluent. I taught English at a community center in Spain when I was living there. And one thing that I thought was really cool was that there was another classroom specifically for people who were immigrating to Spain who wanted to learn Spanish. And they came there every day. I think there were classes. I used to teach on like Wednesdays, but they would come to the community center every day to learn the language. But you don't see in Spain words in Spanish and Portuguese or Spanish and French, despite Portugal and France being bordering countries of Spain. You see Spanish everywhere, and then opportunities for immigrants to Spain to learn the language and learn the culture. And I think that that's a very practical model because it allows Spain to retain its culture, retain its language, and still be inclusive of the different people who are interested in visiting Spain and moving to Spain. However, I do think that there's value in Guyanese learning Spanish. Guyana has an excellent education system. I've known so many Guyanese teachers. They're phenomenal. When you look at the different Caribbean examination scores, Guyanese students are constantly topping other countries in the Caribbean. So I think that that's a testament to the type of teachers that we have in Guyana. In addition to the fact that a lot of Guyanese who come to the States are often outperforming their classmates when they're in comparison. So we are a very educated and intelligent people. So I think us learning Spanish is of equal value as Spanish speakers and other language speakers learning English. So I'm a part of a Guyanese group on Facebook, and they actually did a survey and they asked group members, where are you currently located? And there were a bunch of Guyanese people living in Venezuela, Colombia, and Mexico. So when you think about the fact that there are multiple Spanish speaking countries in the world, in addition to the other English speaking countries, we shouldn't be limited to just migrating to the US, migrating to Canada, migrating to the UK. Obviously, that's our largest like hubs for our diaspora. But we're on a continent with so many other Spanish-speaking countries that are just as beautiful and have awesome opportunities. I think it is a value for more Guyanese to learn Spanish to the level of fluency and not just in 2-3 classes when you're in primary school or secondary school.
Right. Yes, and I definitely agree with you, Sharita, because like I believe Spanish is top 5 most spoken language in the world, and there are many areas where Guyanese people travel to, and it would be valuable for us to be able to speak and connect with other people. But I completely understand that it's important for those who are migrating into Guyana to prioritize learning the English language.
Mm-hmm. I think a comprehensive plan would include both sides learning. I think that immigrants to Guyana would benefit from learning about our culture, learning our language,
right,
in the same way that students in Guyana would benefit from becoming more capable of establishing themselves in other places. In Europe, most students there know multiple languages. And it's obviously because in Europe, there are so many different countries with distinct languages. And people tend to, you know, move between those countries. And these people and these students are well equipped to move to wherever they want to in the world. I know that we're a bit late in ensuring that our population is bilingual, but I don't think it's ever too late.
Yeah, it's definitely not too late. But if Guyana wants to focus on prioritizing the language being spoken and recognized, you know, like Sharita has mentioned, you know, getting, you know, the nurses, doctors, even the police force, if they're able to learn basic Spanish in order to communicate with the migrants, I believe that would be a better step forward. And I understand that they're just feeling things out, as it was said in the news article, that it's kind of like a trial.
And, you know, that even leads into the topic of resources. So Guyana is a developing country, but we're a country that has challenges in other areas. So when you think of resources being allocated to implementing Spanish, when there are other urgent needs such as infrastructure development, poverty alleviation, and healthcare improvement, it kind of can come off as disorganized and as an improvement that is not a priority. But nonetheless, as Afia said, migration of foreign nationals into Guyana is a fact of life at this point. And especially for the Venezuelans who, as many people know, are coming from a nation that has very limited resources and whose population is in dire need of support and refuge.
So now we have some opinions from some of you guys on thoughts about the GPF having policia written on the police cars. And we were very interested at the various split opinions regarding how Guyana is going about integrating Spanish-speaking migrants to the country. And I've seen several comments both on TikTok and Twitter and, you know, from you guys. And, you know, we have some people who are saying that Guyana is just adjusting the country for Spanish and how that it's not the right way for Guyana to incorporate Spanish. And we had some other people mention that the police doesn't understand Spanish, so why is there Spanish writing on the cars? And, you know, it's just various opinions. I know Sharita saw a couple of them on Twitter, if you'd like to share.
Yeah, I saw someone on Twitter. His handle is @Sean2105. He says that the signage should be written in both languages. There's another person on Twitter that goes by @HemDuttKumar. He says, commendable. Wouldn't it have been more beneficial if we taught English as a second language to the Hispanics, facilitating a more productive assimilation for the migrants? Another person has a very strong opinion, which is that it's foolish and that no other country does that. They are basically giving up their sovereignty. Venezuela will just walk through the front door. Very strong opinions because, as we mentioned before, Guyana has a very troubled history with Venezuela. Another person, @Chevin_141, mentioned, I don't think the countrywide density of Spanish-speaking persons is large enough for this to become a necessity. Another person said, if this must be done because of a changing population, why can't it be in English, Portuguese, and Spanish? And one last thing I wanted to pull from Twitter was actually something from one of the more controversial Twitter accounts that many Guyanese Twitter users are aware of. And it's called Mi Mapa de Venezuela Incluye Nuestro Esequibo. And the account is very anti-Guyanese. Anytime you say anything about Guyana, they come after you and, you know, just attack you verbally because they're staunch believers that we have taken their land and their resources. And they have even responded. And I think that there is risk in us modifying our country and our culture to people who can often be hostile towards Guyanese and Guyanese policies and laws. So we didn't capture that many opinions as we normally do, but we did want to include a few. So we'll add that in here.
But ultimately, a lot of what the comments were saying, you know, those have been very negative, and we do have some positive comments that we read. But ultimately, a lot of the Guyanese people believe that it's unnecessary to put a different language on the police cars in order to, quote unquote, cater to the Spanish speaking migrants, because we want to work towards having them adapt to Guyanese culture, Guyanese society, rather than the other way around.
So as we always say, this is a podcast that where it's like a telephone line between Guyanese people living in Guyana abroad and just people who are interested and want to support Guyana and the preservation of Guyanese culture. And so With that being said, and with that being the purpose of this platform, we do want to make a few calls to action. One of them being to continue to have dialogue about these things. So as people with access to the internet and access to other resources, it's important that we continue to have these conversations amongst each other and to involve the relevant authorities in Guyana, such as the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Diaspora Unit, of potential solutions to the nation's challenges. One thing that we're very fortunate about as Guyanese people is the fact that because we're a small population, comparatively, of course, we have a lot of access to our high-ranking officials. Afia and I have met the Prime Minister a number of times. President Ali was in New York last week interacting with the Guyanese population there. There are always ministers of finance and minister of this and that traveling and interacting with our population. So we do have access to these people to express our concerns and also offer our time and talents and resources to assist with our homeland. And they want that. So we definitely encourage you guys to continue to talk, to reach out to people, to attend events where our government officials are seeking our input.
It is on us to step up and, you know, be firm on our beliefs while also being, you know, understanding that we do have migrants coming from a country that has severely gone downhill in terms of, you know, just their economy, and they just have a lot of hardships. So if we're able to be a bit more understanding while also preserving our own culture, sharing those opinions and thoughts with the government officials, we can actually make a difference and we can be able to have our voices heard.
One of you guys listening to this podcast might be a part of some type of organization in your country or wherever you live that assists with integrating different populations into the country. Or, you know, maybe you work at a company and you assist with the new hires. How do you get a new hire from one company to become part of your company's culture? Some of you listening may be Spanish teachers. Some of you people may be historians. How do we bring together our time, talents, and resources to ensure that Guyana and Guyanese people are continually centered as we experience and observe all the changes that the country is going through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to follow up on that, you know, it's important that we support initiatives that aim to preserve and promote Guyanese culture, you know, the language, traditions, and just to ensure that Guyanese culture remains vibrant and integral to our country's identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, fortunately for us who are living in Region 11 or just the tri-state area of the U.S., we have access to so many different Guyanese culture groups. Mm-hmm. So continue to join them, continue to interact with different members of our community so that we can continue to work together to ensure the longevity of our culture, regardless of where in the world we're living.
Mm-hmm, right.
So if you ever want to share your opinion about different topics or even want to suggest topics that we can discuss on the podcast, please don't hesitate to contact us and reach out to us on social media or even through email. All of our social media handles are at GoldRushGY. And Afia, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah. And just as Shruta said earlier in the episode, is that we're not anti anybody. We're pro Guyanese and we definitely want the best for Guyana, as well as to be inclusive of others who are migrating into Guyana. Mm-hmm. So shout out to our Spanish speaking Guyanese or Spanish speaking migrants who are living in Guyana, those who are Spanish speaking, who are just in our audience, who are listening, all in the diaspora. Mm-hmm. And,
you know, the diaspora wouldn't even exist if we didn't migrate ourselves. So there definitely is room to empathize with people who are just trying to build a life in Guyana, in the same way that people had to have empathy to allow us to move to other countries and build lives there. So we don't want to come off as hateful. We do just want to emphasize that this is just news that's happening in our country of Guyana, and that it's important that all of us have an awareness of what's going on. And as always, we value the opinions of everyone in our community. The world is watching, but yeah, like if you are listening and you're a Spanish speaking Guyanese and you are aware of any resources or any suggestions that you could offer to other Guyanese who are in Guyana or who are interested in learning Spanish or, you know, potentially migrating to somewhere else, please do share that with us, and we'll be more than happy to share those messages to the different channels that we have in, you know, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and just the different offices that are working to make Guyana a better place.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. All right. This is Gaff with Gold Rush. My name is Afia.
And my name is Sharina, and adios.
Adios.
Buenas noches.
We're going to gap later.